Good morning and welcome to Monday Manna. Thank you for joining me. And so we're going to continue on. We've been studying in Proverbs chapter 24 as we make our way through the book of Proverbs. And we were contrasting last week the difference between a wise man and an evil man or a foolish man. There's a statement that says a fool and his money will soon be parted, right? But in this case, it's a fool and his pride will soon be crushed. And that a fool has consequences that come based upon the decisions, and those consequences are brought on themselves. And so it's like, I want to talk about those things. Plus, I also want to talk about being guarded, that we don't emotionally involve ourselves out of, if you will, offense, that a fool can push our buttons from time to time. So we're going to talk about those two things today. And so let's start with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the wisdom of your word that we can meditate on, we can think through, we can consider how it applies to relationships in life. Help us to see them clearly, to learn to identify things and then how you would have us to respond. Because the truth of the matter is, Lord, all of us are fools apart from you. You're the God who restores. And so we ask, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit as we walk through this study today. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to pick up and read for us verses 7, 8, and 9 in Proverbs 24. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. It says, wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. Whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. So last week we talked about the three S's of these types of people, the schemers, the scoffers, and the skeptics. And schemers are people who make underhanded plans. Scoffers are those that mock and ridicule others, typically, not always, but typically using crass humor. We get a lot of that in the world today. And then skeptics. Skeptics are those who question or doubt. No matter what kind of evidence you give them, they're not going to walk in a place of truth because the only truth that they know is what's in their minds. So what do we have today? Today we have an illustration of what that looks like. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 25. It talks about David, Nabal, and a woman by the name of Abigail. Three main characters. Now, Nabal is a wealthy man, but he, like his name, is not all there. And I don't mean that he's got mental problems. He's got attitude issues. But Nabal actually means empty person or fool. Well, he was a wealthy man and he was trusted in his wealth and his arrogance. He was hardened. He was unfeeling. He was cruel and harsh and inflexible and obstinate. It's interesting that it also describes that character, that name Nabal, as like the oxen who, when you're farming with them in the old days, and then you would put a yoke upon them, that those oxen would resist. You know, they're just stubborn. No, I'm not going out there, you know. And of course, so that's one way that it describes it. But it also describes it another way. Similarly to the Pharisees in the New Testament, when Stephen, who is full of the Spirit, confronts them, teaches them about the truth of their hearts, and they don't like it. And so what do they choose to do? They choose to come against him and to stone him. And what's his response? His response is exactly similar to what Christ is. He says, Lord, don't hold this sin against them right before he dies. So that's a picture. The Pharisees, the stubborn oxen, the empty person or fool, that's a picture of Nabal. Then the next character is Nabal's wife. Now, this is amazing that she would even marry this type of a man, but she did. Now, Abigail was a woman of good understanding, and she was one of beautiful appearance. Oh, okay, Abigail, there's something appealing to her, and it's more than just her appearance. And then the third main character is David, the shepherd who was appointed king, chosen over Israel to rule Israel, but he was known as a man who seeks after God's own heart. So what happens? So what happens is David's in the wilderness, and he and his 600 mighty men, and he sends some of his men to guard and protect Nabal's shepherds, because there's a lot of thievery that goes on in those places. But they were there to protect them night and day. And so David instructs them. He says, go to Nabal and ask for some compensation, basically some food. And Nabal says, who is David to me? You know, and he goes off onto this tyrant. And so he says, no, I'm not going to do that to you. You didn't do anything for me. So David's men go back to David and tell David what Nabal's response was. Excuse me. And David says, fellas, strap on your swords. We're going to take this dude down, and we're taking down every single male that exists in his camp. I'm going to take things into my own hands. Well, at the same time period, one of the servants of Nabal's goes to Abigail. Remember, the woman of good understanding. And he explains to her what happened. And he says, you know, these guys, these armed guards, these servants of David, they were so good to us. They protected us. They didn't steal anything from us when they could have, but they didn't. They were men of character. And she said, okay, here's what you do. So she prepares this great meal, and she heads out on the road. And of course, who does she find on the road? David. He and 400 of his mighty men are coming with their swords. And she bows down before David. She acknowledges that response was sin. She takes it upon herself. She doesn't just point to Nabal. She's committed to him. That's who she is. And she offers up this beautiful explanation of the way that God has blessed David, and he's going to continue to bless David with the hopes that David won't take things into his own hands. And David relents. David says, thank you, Abigail. And he receives it, and he recognizes that he was about to do something out of his own pride, not something that God was leading him to do. So Abigail turns into a savior for David, right? So anyway, that's the story. And so it doesn't end there. Abigail goes back to where Nabal is. David goes back to his camp. Nabal's having a big party. And of course, what happens is he's too drunk. She doesn't want to talk to him when he's too drunk. She's smart enough to know, I'm going to wait till the morning. And in the morning, she comes and she says, hey, I need to let you know what was going to happen to you. Well, Nabal talks about that he went stone. It's like something happened. Well, most likely what happened is he had a stroke. And then he dies 10 days later. Well, Proverbs chapter 24, and I don't think there's any way that we're going to get through all of this, but we'll try to get through as much as we can. It's a beautiful picture of these different characters and the way that they handle dealing with a Nabal. Something for us to consider. Verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? So I believe that's a picture of Abigail. She's the one that came to rescue. She was the one that was listening. She was the one. She was trying to rescue Nabal, her husband. She didn't know that he was going to have a stroke and die. But she was courageous enough to do that. You know, and I think sometimes we need to be more courageous in trying to rescue people, even from themselves. The next passage is verse 13 and 14. It says, my son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honey comb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there be a future, and if your hope will not be cut off. And I think that's a beautiful picture of when David wised up. It's like, man, are you taking wisdom? Is wisdom the sweeter thing for you? Are you letting it guide your life? Then the next passage, I think, is about Nabal's warning. Watch this. In verse 15 and 16, lie not in wait as a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not violence to his home, for the righteous fall seven times and they rise again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Well, that sums up Nabal, right? It's like, I'm not going to give him time of day, but he's confronting the things of righteousness. So anyway, let's go on. Let's finish this up real quick. Let's see if we can do this. So then it says, and I believe this is how we respond to the Nabals in our lives. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and nor let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Let the Lord see it and be displeased, and turn away his anger from him. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. So I think that that's such a powerful spirit or picture of the Holy Spirit coming to rescue David as he wants to rescue us if we'll just listen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining me, and we'll continue on in Proverbs 24 next week.